there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for Today.
Open our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11. Hear now the Word of God. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the Word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats and one belonging to Simon and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Now Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him. Thus says the Word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask you that in the proclamation of your word, in this story of the life of Peter, as he initially was introduced to Jesus and as he began to follow him, enlighten our minds with the light of truth, that we may see in Peter's life pieces of our own and how we relate to Christ. And so, Holy Spirit, be with us. Give us your true wisdom and knowledge. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I sent out one of my almost daily devotionals. One of the ones that I did this week was this idea of change. And this person was talking to me about a person in their congregation and how difficult it was working with them. And they made the mention to me that, you know, you can't change a tiger's stripes. And I kind of walked away from that conversation like a bit sad, because I'm thinking, change is part and parcel of the Christian life. In fact, we ought to embrace change. Because every day as we walk closer with Jesus, every day as we become closer with the Lord, every day as we recognize the Holy Spirit's work in our lives, every day as we're out, wherever we are, at work, at school, in our daily lives, that we see God at work, that people intersect our lives, we ought to continue to change and grow in our relationship with Christ. And so change, then, is inevitable in the Christian's life. Not only should it be embraced, it's inevitable kind of whether you like it or not. God will orchestrate those instances to change your life. And so what I wanted to do over the next several sermons is to concentrate on the life of Peter, because I think there's some great lessons that we can learn from his interactions with Christ. And so today I'd like to talk about how Peter was introduced to Jesus, and he kind of hesitates to follow, but then he comes to admit his sinfulness. And so, let's then start out. We have Peter the fisherman. As we encounter our word today and we look at chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, we see that at the water's edge there were two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. And Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, which is Peter. Now, there's a couple things to take from this little verse here. One of it is this idea of him having two boats. Further, you read in Scripture of him leaving his father, and there needed to be other people to help out. So apparently there was some kind of business going on here. In Mark chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, we read that when he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with hired men and followed him. So there's something that is going on with Simon, with Andrew, with James and John. They're fishermen in and around Capernaum, which is roughly at the northern tip of the Sea of Galilee, about 60 miles or so as the crow flies from Jerusalem. Now, there has been a lot of conjecture, perhaps, about what that means, that these guys kind of owned a thriving fishing business in the city of Capernaum. Were they these big, wealthy business owners, perhaps? And I don't believe that you can make that conclusion because of the oppressiveness of the Roman government and around the areas that they controlled. So they were not likely wealthy, middle to upper class business owners in the sense that we would understand it. I mean, they were basically peasants. They were farmers and they owned a couple of oxen. Yeah, it doesn't make them wealthy farmers. It's just kind of, that's the instrument they use in their trade. And on the Sea of Galilee, they're out there fishing. You know, get this idea of Peter and his family. You know, he gets up in the morning, he goes and he tends the nets that they were washed the previous day from their last fishing boat expedition. They come with his brothers and whoever was in his family, the hired hands and so forth. Maybe James and John were helping him, and they're loading the stuff in the boat, and they're going out. Now, they didn't, you know, fish, bait cast fish. That's not what they did. They fished with nets, if you've ever seen it, nets that went somewhat deeper, and they would then fold it in and draw it up. Now, you've seen this done on a mechanical basis, perhaps, in big boats. And so, kind of a rough business. I mean, you know, this isn't easy. And basically what they were catching is sardines. I mean, there were some bigger fish there, but primarily in the Sea of Galilee, we've been catching sardines. You know, it's fishy. It's kind of, you know how fish are. If you've ever gone fishing, kind of stinky, but this is their livelihood. It's like that every day. And here's the thing, that they would then bring these fish to the shore, and there would be handlers that would take the fish and would be responsible for bringing them to market. They would be marked on the size and weight of the fish, how many of there were perhaps. And all of this was taxed by the Romans who oversaw the area through Pilate, their governor, through Herod Antipas, and most importantly, we see throughout Scripture, despised tax collectors. The Apostle Matthew was one of those before he gave his life to Christ. And so, the idea of Peter and understanding Peter, they and his family were subservient fishermen doing what they did, their task every day to carve out a living. So, we see that Simon Peter was from a place called Capernaum, that he and his brother were devout Jews. And they first run into Jesus, really, this isn't the first time. They run into Jesus like 3 to 6 months earlier than that. We don't see that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but we do see that in John. In the Gospel of John, we see that John the Baptist was by the Jordan River, which would have been next to Jerusalem. And he said that was there again with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus passing by, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And when the two disciples heard him saying this, they followed Jesus. Now, one of the two who heard John speaking and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. And so he brought him to Jesus. Now, think of this next line in this interaction. This is the next thing that happens. So Jesus looks at him and says, "You are Simon the son of John. You should be called Cephas," which means rock. I don't know what you all think about that, but I mean, you know, that's a... If you're meeting somebody for the first time and they stop you and you don't even have a chance for, there's no interaction that we see from Peter. It's simply a statement from Jesus. "You're the rock." And I got to believe that Peter's wondering, what's that all about? Well, think of it this way. Christ was pointed out by John the Baptist to Andrew. Andrew then took that information and he introduced Simon, Peter, to Jesus. Peter stands face to face with Jesus. For all he knows, it's some guy that his brother is kind of enthused about. He doesn't know much about him. Brother tells him he's the Messiah. Yeah, okay, whatever. You know, I'll entertain you. It's kind of the way the story reads to me. Peter's not recorded of saying anything. And Jesus renames him the rock, Cephas, Peter. I was reading a commentary, and it states it kind of like this, that this must be understood in the light of the significance attaching a name to somebody in antiquity. In other words, it really meant something. And I know some of you, if you have struggled naming your children, did anybody really spiritually struggle with that? I know we did with our kids, and we thought about it. We thought about the importance of the name, but nothing like it would have been in antiquity. It stood, in other words, for the whole person. It summed up the entire personality. The giving of a new name is an assertion of the authority of the giver. And we see that in 2 Kings chapter 23. And when done by God, it speaks in addition to a new character in which henceforth appears in that person. So there's this idea that Christ is telling Peter that you are about to become something different. You're going to become the rock man. And I got to believe at this time, as Peter has this interaction in and around Jerusalem, probably attending one of the three festivals with his brother and family that they would attend, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of the Day of Atonement, that Jews would have gathered in and near Jerusalem about. We're guessing that's what that is. Not certain of it, but likely because they live so far away. And so you have Peter entering this kind of discipling period. Think of it in your own life. When you were first introduced to this guy, Jesus, however old you may have been, whether you were little in Sunday school and at some point maybe you started to understand that there was something special, if you didn't go to church, you know, whatever your life story is and how you first encountered Jesus Christ, you know, what were you doing? Were you immediately accepting? Some people are, did you contemplate the name of Jesus and all that he is purported to be? Did you think about it a while? Did it grow in your heart, maybe? In other words, were you entering a discipling period without first giving a statement of confession of faith? You know, I know in my life is that I had various encounters like that with people that talked to me about Jesus. I was born or raised in the Catholic Church, so we had Catholic catechism. I didn't quite understand it all when I was young. When I was in college, I was exposed to it by Josh McDowell, who came and did a ministry at the University of Pittsburgh, and I started to understand this Jesus guy and having a relationship, which I didn't quite understand. There was a good friend of mine who talked to me about Jesus, Chris. She talked to me a lot about Jesus, but it didn't sink in, and I really didn't want it to sink in, to be honest. I mean, there was part of me that said, well, maybe, but then the other part of me said, But then I think it grew. So in this story with Peter, we find him at this place in time. And after this encounter with Jesus, he goes back to Galilee to continue his fishing. And so he's there in the Sea of Galilee, and he's continuing his fishing. And we learn that Jesus comes out of Nazareth and goes to that Galilean region, especially the northern part, and in Capernaum, and he's preaching and teaching. So in between our story in Luke, Jesus has this kind of ministry going on already of talking in the synagogues and teaching. And so it's likely that, you know, Andrew, James, John would have been following Jesus. And then ultimately, there comes a point in time when Simon Peter then allows Jesus in his space. And that's the way he would look at it. You know, this fisherman who's going about his business has this second confrontation or encounter with Jesus in verses 4 or 5. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch," he tells Simon. And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and I haven't caught anything, but, you know, because you say so, I'll do it." Simon Peter has been mauling around this idea of this Jesus guy for 3 to 6 months. You know, he may have seen him speak, he may have talked to him, but he certainly didn't have any kind of true idea of who he was dealing with. Now, in this encounter, he's reluctant to obey, but he does anyway to appease this holy man. Now, think of your relationship with Jesus. I mean, are there times when you were kind of mauling around Jesus in your mind, you know, thinking about him, contemplating who this might really be? You know, were you reluctant to be obedient to that perhaps calling of your heart by the Holy Spirit? But yet perhaps there was something compelling you toward him, something moving you toward him that you just couldn't quite explain. You know, I look again at the example of my life and I see that there were circumstances put forth to me that you couldn't stop. This encounter with Christ, this face-to-face encounter with Christ and his great holiness. I know that happened to me. And I know that it was miraculous. You see, Simon Peter witnesses this miracle too. And he acknowledges his sinfulness after witnessing this miracle. Think of it like this. So in verse 6 and 8, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish. You know, he goes out. He doesn't want to go out. He's reluctant to do it. He has this encounter with Jesus, but yet he goes along anyway. This miracle occurs. This gigantic catch of fish comes that almost sinks two boats. And Simon Peter saw this. And what does he do? This is just a crazy statement in Scripture that you wouldn't expect. What does he do? He has this amazing catch of fish. You know, it might mean a bit more money for him. Who knows what it is? He brings it on shore. People are helping. And the first thing he does is he falls at Jesus' feet and he says, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." You know, Luke surprises us with this statement because if you're reading this story, that's not what you would expect. Now, you might expect something like, "Wow, what a great catch of fish. You know, we could look at this. Come on, John," and everything. "Well, Jesus, thank you so much. I didn't know you knew so much about fishing." Right? But see here, you don't make that confession without the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit piercing your heart. You don't make a confession and fall on your knees before Jesus to say, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." In his heart, there was something more going on. You know, perhaps hearing Jesus preach over the last few months, or hearing the testimony of his own brother a couple, two, three times, maybe again and again, who knows, wrestling with Jesus the man, or Jesus the Messiah. Whatever filled the mind of Peter, he makes the remarkable confession that "I am a sinful man." You know, kind of the first prerequisite of accepting Christ as Lord and Savior, repentance, right? Now, he may not have known what all of that entailed. He may not have known what he was in store for. He may not have known really what Jesus was about. But he acknowledges the sinfulness in his heart. And he believes that Jesus is more than just a man. He believes Jesus is more than just a great fish catcher. He believes he's the Messiah. Now, for the Jew in that day, at that time, he might have had a misconception about it. And as we read about Peter's life later on, we see that he does. But nonetheless, there was more discipling to do in Peter's life. And his heart was made this change and opened a door to allow Christ in, however you want to look at that theologically, but certainly by the power of the Holy Spirit. This man's heart was changed. And we begin reading then in the last two verses, "For he and all his companions, they were astonished at the catch of fish. And so were James and John and Simon's partners. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men.'" So Jesus explains the catch of fish in terms of something that Simon can grasp. You know, he says, "I will make you fishers of men." You know, "Peter, your life is going to change if you hang around with me. It's going to change dramatically. You're going to see abundant miracles, and you're going to see persecution. You're going to be tested. You're going to be purified in fire. But by the foundation of the rock of your life, Peter, amazing growth of this building of the church is going to occur. That godly character is going to be built in you. Knowledge and wisdom is going to be built up in you in time." And so Simon Peter left everything and followed Jesus. He had an open yet kind of closed mind on what the future would hold. He didn't realize all the things that Jesus saw in him. Yet in his heart he said, "This is one that I could follow." Peter's journey was just beginning. And eventually we see that he has this kind of childlike understanding of the meaning of Jesus Christ. But he would be transformed and he would grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so as your faith in Jesus Christ grows, so is your understanding going to grow. As your relationship with the living God deepens and slowly but surely becomes real to you day by day, may your journey progress just as Peter's did. Leave your old thoughts and your presuppositions behind as well and follow Jesus. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we do thank you, Lord, for these examples of faith. We see, Lord, in your word, your holy word, that these are just normal people that experiencing you much the same way that we do now. That when we encounter you, we don't always just come to you straight of faith, but there's something that has worked in our lives, that the Holy Spirit has drawn us to you so that you, Lord, can work in us. That you can oil the rusty hinges of that door to our hearts, that it may be open, that you may enter in and change our lives, Lord. And we pray to you by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, help us to embrace that change, to see you in every and all things, by the guidance, the wisdom, the knowledge of the Holy Spirit who dwells in our hearts, that we may walk a walk more like you, grow in our faith, and become spiritual leaders for those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhigh and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Christ Jesus. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.
Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. That's right.